If you hear a sound in the background, that's someone cutting grass. Everyone's in high expectations and high gear, waiting for the guests to come today. This is the first day of our weekend-long open days, and it's really hot. Hot weather doesn't suit tourism or guests so much. They prefer to stay not far away on the Balaton Lake, which is a big lake, and stay cool. But we're hoping that Radhe Shyam will make arrangement for some minimal cloud cover to cool things off. Otherwise, we're in the mid-30s here, and that's really quite hot. Aside from the new arrangements that we have to greet the guests, which means that the Gauranga Square, the big square right in front of the temple, is covered by three big tents. The middle one is for serving prasadam, and the other two are for guests honoring it, and it's really, really big. To the left of that, facing the temple, is the whole guest reception complex, and there's many tents. We have one karma labyrinth where people go through and make, it's a labyrinth, and you obviously make different choices as you go along, and depending upon the choice that you make, you get a different result. Outside of that is going to be my questions and answers table, specifically in related to karma and how to avoid it. And next to that is our reality show. That means everyone gets to experience what it means to be Krishna conscious, to put on a dhoti or a sari and tilak, and bow down before Gaur Nitai, chant japa, hear a little about the philosophy, and then cook a puri, offer it to the Lord and taste it. It's a great experience, and people just stand in queue to try it out. And then there's so many other booths, book distribution, or book sales booths, as well as many other things. But the highlight is the new square, which is over to the left, and which used to be sort of the walkway to the old barn. That's now covered with a gigantic tent, 450 square meter tent. That means the tent is half the size of the temple. And that's going to be our reception area for guests. It's also going to be the prasadam facilities for devotees. Now, for festivals, it will be able to feed 500 devotees in one go. And it's a really major addition to New Brajadam, very beautifully done, nice retaining wall with paving stones put down, nice octagon seat around the big weeping willow, which is just outside it, and all of that connects into the tower, or a bell tower. Of course, this description means something to those who have been to New Brajadam. If you haven't, then when you come, then you'll know what it's about. And today I helped dress Radhe Shyam, and they're in last year's Vyas Puja outfit, which is pink with peacocks, very light, and a beautiful backdrop, pastel backdrop. Particular feature is that today both Srimati Radharani and Shyamasundar are covered in glitter. I mean, not covered, but their faces and so on are highlighted with glitter. Shyamasundar blue, and Srimati Radharani pink and white. So if we can get the pictures of them up on the site, and if you can get pictures, if the pictures will be so that you can see their faces from close up, then you'll see it's very, very wonderful. And it's very wonderful being back in New Brajadam, being with the devotees, Radha Shyama Sundar. Yesterday we were able to have short kirtan. This morning it's just 7:30, and morning programs are already over. Everyone's getting ready for the fete. I didn't mention also that Yogamaya's temple was completely rebuilt also, and we just took her out there. That's also part of that new square. Beautiful. So it's wonderful to be here, and having been on the road for a week, I'm living outside actually. I'm not in the house, I'm living in the porch. I'm sleeping outside the porch at night on a mattress underneath a mosquito net. And I have a desk out here. I'm looking at Radha Damodar right now. They're waiting for their worship. And I have my computer out here as well. And no point in being inside right now. It's very pleasant being outside. And it's a cool breeze, early morning breeze blowing. Very welcome to all. So with that introduction, I'll continue from the previous day before's podcast, which was about killing the demons within that obstruct our path to devotional service. And here, number three, following first Putana, then Shakatasura, is Trinivarta. And Trinivarta was the whirlwind demon. If you remember, and I'm sure you do, such an exciting scene, that all of the inhabitants of Vrindavan were blinded by a dust storm and they couldn't see anything. Indeed, Mother Yashoda couldn't even see her little baby Krishna, who was playing in the courtyard of her house. And this Trinivarta, who was a mystic, appeared, and as whirlwinds do, he lifted up Krishna into the center of the whirlwind and took him way, way, way up into the sky, the idea being that he would carry him away and kill him. Of course, Krishna had other plans, and riding on Trinivarta's shoulders, he looked around and saw the beauty of Vrindavan, and then at a certain point whacked the demon on the head, and he fell down and crashed to the ground and died. Mother Yashoda, when she saw that Krishna was absent, she began to lament for him, just like a cow laments for her lost calf, and crying, weeping, running here and there in the blinding dust storm. She didn't even know where she was going, but she was just driven by love to somehow or another locate her little son. And when Krishna finally did come back down to earth, literally speaking, then she was so elated. She embraced him, engaged Brahmins in performing rites of protection, and asked Krishna what had happened, and Krishna said, "Oh, nothing, I went up to have a look around to see Vrindavan." So our Thakur Bhaktivinoda says that this Trinivarta demon represents the false pride that comes from material scholarship, and that material scholarship gives rise to deviant philosophies. Often devotees give credit to materialists for their learning, for their material qualities, even though they're devoid of Krishna Bhakti. And sometimes they make the comparison that devotees are not so learned, not so educated, sometimes not so cultured, and therefore they have a lot to learn from the non-devotees. But such advice, when couched in a derogatory way, some way which places too much emphasis on material know-how and ignores even uncultured devotees' extraordinary characteristic of being surrendered to Krishna, This is a anartha, and it's symptomatic of the anartha that comes from false pride in material things, particularly in material scholarship. And unless that type of anartha is weeded out, it can lead to deviant philosophies, particularly Mayavad Buddhism. And Mayavad philosophy has two aspects. One is the traditional espousing of Mayavad philosophy that ultimately the absolute truth is impersonal. And the other is glorifying those aspects, secondary aspects of Mayavad philosophy that are characteristic of such deviance. For instance, thinking that because one is learned, one can have direct access to the absolute truth without going through the Guru Parampara, or ridiculing devotees for their devotional fervor, especially in chanting Hare Krishna and dancing, and emphasizing instead study of non-devotional scriptures, such as mundane philosophy, logic, and personal development, etc. Another aspect of this type of pride that comes from scholarship is when devotees are also excessively proud of their devotional learning, and they think that because they have gleaned a lot of information, they therefore are advanced devotees, and they're better than someone who's necessarily not so much learned. But Krishna consciousness does not necessarily mean that purification of heart can be equated to how many shlokas someone knows or how much philosophy one can cite. For instance, just recently Purushottam wrote me that when he was on Sankirtan, he ran into some followers of another Gaudiya sannyasi who were distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. When he asked them why they're distributing Prabhupada's books, not their own guru's books, they said because Prabhupada's books are for the beginners and their guru's books are for the advanced devotees. So this type of pride, thinking that we're better than you because we're speaking some esoteric things, because we're repeating some deeper things that you don't know or that aren't in your guru's book, is also the false pride, which is the curse of Trinivarta. And just as the dust that Trinivarta stirred up blinded the inhabitants of Vrindavan, similarly these deviant philosophies blind people who hear them from actually seeing Krishna and understanding where his real location is and how to get to him. Therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned that devotees should stay clear of Vaishnava philosophy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Mayavadi Basya Shunya Prad, Mayavadis are offenders, and by hearing Mayavad philosophy, even advanced devotees can fall down and lose their way. If I broke the train of thought over there for a minute, it's because I just sent one devotee to the nursery is just going by the hill, and I brought some kites for the children, so I just sent them over there to give the kids the kite. Anyway, that way they'll go fly their kites. And the other, which we'll speak about now, is Nalakuvera Manigriva, the twin Arjun trees. And they represent the arrogant pride arising from aristocracy, which is rooted in madness for wealth. This story, devotees know probably better than others, because they hear about it at least once a year during the month of Damodara, when we sing about Lord Krishna and how he pulled the mortar between the two trees, and how the kids are just waving, Radhe Shyam! And how Krishna thus pulled down the two Arjun trees, who in last life were Nalakuvera and Manigriva. Nalakuvera and Manigriva were intoxicated by the fact that they were Kuvera's sons, which means that as the treasurer of the demigods, Kuvera was wealthy and his sons were also wealthy. They thought they had such high birth, and when they saw Narada Muni, they were intoxicated by wine, they were intoxicated by their position, and they thought that their material wealth did not oblige them to humble themselves before a great devotee. And therefore Narada Muni cursed them to become trees, and Krishna ultimately released them from that curse. It's interesting to note that even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he's writing Jivadharma, he speaks about certain aristocratic brahmanas who are criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers from coming from lower class families and not from the upper echelons of society. Of course, that's not true, because Rupa Sanatana Goswami were from high-class Saraswat Brahmin families. Maharaj Pratap Rudra was a king, and what to speak of Sarvam Bhattacharya and Prakashananda Saraswati, these were all very aristocratic personalities, but who learned the path of devotional humility. But often we see, in fact, when we were just on Padyatra, and I was speaking with Chaitanya, who was saying that when they go to the better sections of the towns, people don't come out and don't receive the devotees, what to speak of, purchase books or give donations. But when they go to the poorer parts of town, then everyone gives something, and even the very poor people are kind, receptive, give some fruit, some bottled water. So wealth blinds people. Wealth makes people proud. And this pride, which is actually a demoniac quality, it's present in both of these demons, Trinavarta, Nalakuvera, and Manigriva. Of course, they're not demons, they're demigods, but they're behaving as such. And we should be very careful, because this pride is a very destructive quality. So particularly when people are proud of their wealth, they're proud of their birth, they're proud of their stature in society, it becomes very difficult for them to take to devotional service. If for some reason we're in such a position due to past good karma, we should keep in mind the example of such personalities as Raghunath Das Goswami, again born in a very wealthy family, but still he would daily offer obeisances to anyone that he saw, any Vaishnav, and generally that was in the thousands. Or if for some reason we happen to come across some good fortune, we should not allow that to obstruct our devotional qualities. I'm going to end here so that we can send this podcast off as soon as possible. Just watching the kids, they're all showing off their kites to everyone. And I imagine that they'll stay busy today. At least right now there's a breeze. Later on that breeze may stop. Yesterday during midday it was still as anything, and as a result quite hot. And I'm going to continue tomorrow, and tomorrow we'll talk about the Vatsasura, as well as Bakasura, the calf demon and the crane demon. And in the meantime, I hope that this is helping everyone just sort of meditate one by one, or at least two by two, on these qualities every day, and think of how they can also eradicate them within their own hearts. Hare Krishna.